This is TalkLoudRadio.com.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to episode 60 of the Armchair Fantasy Show. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can always follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. Presented, as always, by TalkLoudRadio.com. Coming at you live every Tuesday and Friday night. We are now live on more than just Facebook. We are on Facebook. We are on Periscope, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch. Just search for goingfor2.com on any of those platforms, and we should come up. And, of course, we're streaming in the Going For Two app, which is free for iOS and Android. I'm here, as always, with my host, Mr. Ryan Searfoss. Ryan, how you doing tonight, man?
Dude, great, man. We got fantasy playoffs starting. I made 4 out of 5 dynasties. Won 1 for 2 out of my redraft, so have a busy week. Not going to lie, though, I've had more fun with a dynasty team that didn't make it. I made like 5 trades in the past 24 hours, going full rebuild, so having a good time. And it's about to get busy doing dynasty work.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Yeah, I made it in 5 of my 10 leagues, and I have 3 like pay leagues that actually, you know, you win money if you win. And I made all 3 playoffs in all 3 of those leagues. The 2 leagues I have that were pay to get in leagues were charity leagues. I didn't make the playoffs in those 2 leagues, but I made the important ones. I went 12-1 in one league. I went 9-4 and 8-5 in the other 2. And I should be, I think I'm 9-4 in my Dynasty League as well. So overall, pretty good year this year so far. So hopefully it ends well for me.
Yeah, that's the ending what matters, getting the money.
Definitely, definitely. All right, man, well, we got lots to talk about this week. We'll start off with the big news that sort of hit after our show from last week. We'll touch on it briefly because it's been kind of beat to death. But of course, the Kareem Hunt suspension and then a subsequent cutting. What do you think of the situation going on there in Kansas City?
I mean, it was terrible what happened. We don't even need to talk about what he did other than the fact it shouldn't have happened. And it was terrible. He probably should be punished pretty heavily for it. But it was a fantasy show. So, I mean, we got to adjust how it is. Hopefully, you're quick enough to get Spencer Ware in the league. And if it's a deep leash, or Kendrick West to back him up.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Are you worried about their passing attack at all? With that is the thing that nobody's been talking about.
Yeah, that's good, a good call there, because you figure there's no threat of the run. I mean, Ware is a pretty decent running back, but he's not Kareem Hunt by any stretch of the imagination. And I just think that they're going to play a lot of pass defense. But again, they got Patrick Mahomes, who can buy time with his legs. They got Tyreek Hill, who can basically take anybody, you know, deep. So I think they're going to be fine, but I think they will struggle a little bit, but they're still too good to really worry too much about them. What do you think?
Yeah, I think they'll be pretty good. I mean, Watkins is a little beat up still, but it's not like they're not going to be in contention for a bye for the real playoffs, and Mahomes isn't going to be chucking the ball even more now for fantasy.
Agreed. Yeah, I think in the beginning of the season too, I think if I'm correct, Hunt didn't do too much in those first couple of games, and they were still blowing people out. So I don't think it's going to matter too much if not having him there.
No, and we said Ware's been pretty good in his career, so it's not like you're getting a scrub back there.
Exactly. Exactly.
Next one up was we have the one that happened today is Emmanuel Sanders going to the IR.
Yeah, that one's a tough one because he was having a pretty good fantasy season. I know he had a bad week last week, but I mean, if you had Emmanuel Sanders from where you drafted him, you were happy all season with his production, especially in PPR formats. You know that they've now traded away Demaryius Thomas. They lost Emmanuel Sanders. So they're going to have two rookies on the field with Courtland Sutton, who had a big game last week, and it's a Deshaun Hamilton, I think, will basically man the slot now for Emmanuel Sanders. So, you know, good stuff there to see those young rookies, especially if you're in Dynasty and you drafted one of those two guys. You're pretty happy about that. But if I'm a Sanders owner, I'm pretty butthurt about that because he was doing really well for you this season.
Yeah, he was. I mean, I know a lot of people are talking about grabbing Sutton off waivers. He's available in like 50% of leagues. A lot of that's skewed for them being like inactive leagues and small leagues. Right. So if he's out there, that's awesome. You got a nice win there. But Deshaun Hamilton's a good one to target, man. They throw so much to the slot there.
Yeah, that's
so I like him there. Coming in, he was a great route runner out of college and pretty explosive with the ball in his hands. I think it's some drop issues, but if he has that cleared up, he could really make an impact for fantasy, but probably more down the line. They drafted them to be the replacements for Thomas and Sanders. We're just getting a little sooner than we expected.
Yeah, agreed. I think that Hamilton could be viable if you're really hurting for a receiver. Or if you were the Sanders owner and you didn't have really a good backup, I think he's viable in PPR leagues. But if you've been riding receivers already this season, I don't think you need to go out and spend a lot of fab to get him. I don't think he's going to be otherworldly. He'll just be good enough as a receiver three or a flex position. Sutton, I think, does kind of take a little bit of a bump up because he becomes basically the de facto number one now. He's also probably their best red zone threat. So Sutton, I think, takes the biggest jump in value. I think we saw last week that he can be a good receiver in this league. So excited to see him play this week.
Yeah, I'll be excited to see them. I mean, we got – it was like injury week. I feel like that's all we have to talk about tonight. this one's really sad because I have him on two of my playoff teams, A.J. Green going to the IR.
Yeah, that one was tough, and I'm not sure if it was I talked about it on this show or if I talked about it on my DFS show, but I kind of talked about why bring him back at all. You know, this is before he actually injured it the second time and went out on IR. I mean, the season's lost. They lost Dalton for the year. They're not going anywhere. Green has been banged up, you know, through the last couple of years he's been banged up. So to bring him back, if he wasn't fully 100% healthy, I didn't see the point of it. I thought he can get injured again, and then, of course, he goes out and gets injured again. So it's kind of tough to see. I love A.J. Green as a player, and I just, you know, to see him go down, I think the second year in a row, now he's got a season-ending injury towards the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks. Everyone on there takes a hit. I think Mixon's fine fantasy-wise just because of volume. But, yeah, we talked about it on here last week. Why bring him back?
Yep. It didn't make no sense to me. And the worst case scenario happened, of course. Now he's out for the season. I don't know what his situation is going forward. Like, is he going to miss any of the OTAs or any of the off-season stuff? But, going forward, it's going to be hard to sort of figure out how it's going to go.
No, I'm trying to buy him a Dynasty, though.
Definitely, definitely agree with that 100%. Get him in Dynasty if you can. Another injury we had, and we've got some controversy, too, involved with him, at least on the Yahoo site. James Conner, who was originally supposed to be able to play this week with just a contusion. Unfortunately, it was an ankle sprain, so he will be out. The running back, Jalen Samuels, will be his main replacement, as well as a little bit of Stephen Ridley behind him. But the big controversy is on Yahoo, Jalen Samuels is still tight end eligible, which means you can basically put the starting running back for the Steelers in your tight end spot there. What do you think of that situation?
It's dumb that he's still there. I understand that they don't want to make the changes there in the air. And, like, I'm an IDP. I play IDP, and they did the same thing with Khalil Mack this year. MFL changed the backer when he got traded, and ESPN didn't. They left him eligible with both, and I was able to take advantage of it. So, yes, I'm complaining now about this, but it was cool and it worked out for me, so I can't be that mad about it.
Yeah, exactly. I think everyone was complaining about it, the two people that didn't get him in free agency. So I think it's only on Yahoo, if I believe. I don't think ESPN or any other leagues has him that way. I think it's just Yahoo. And I do know Yahoo's policy is that once he's eligible for a certain position during the season, they will not change it because it could have affected how people drafted players and such like that. So they won't change the competitive balance of the league by changing his availability. So I think he'll be pretty much eligible for a tight end for the rest of the season, which is good if you got him.
Yeah, I mean, he was just worked out tight ends in the combine. Like, I did his rookie profile at the site I used to work for, and, like, he played everywhere tight end, running back, fullback. Him and Naheem Hines are back there. So he brings a lot to their offense. I think he's a better passing threat than James Conner was. I don't think he can carry the load like him, so we're probably going to see some Stephen Ridley in there as well, splitting time. But in games that are going to be higher scoring, if Conner's out with the high ankle sprain, so it could be more than just this week.
Yep, yep.
Samuel could have a pretty decent impact. Stashing those handcuffs pick up later in the year might be big for fantasy playoffs this year.
Definitely. I got a question about Ridley, too, because I actually heard that, you know, that Ridley might start or he might split time. But when he went out last week, when Conner went out last week, it was 100% Jalen Samuels. I mean, Ridley didn't play a single snap. Was he active for last game? I didn't see inactives for that game. I don't know if he was even active.
I'm not sure, actually, but I know, like, they're weird about, like, who they bring in and out, and with Steelers not doing much rotation, I'm sure that's something they have to prepare for. I mean, we've seen two running backs in a row don't come off the field with Bell and then Conner. Yeah. So for them to make a rotation, that's an adjustment to the game planning. And I'm sure they're not doing that mid-game, being they can't pull a linebacker off of Keenan Allen. They might as well not make that adjustment either.
Right. Yep. That's a good point. Good point. All right. We got some more injuries. Who else you got on your injury report there?
I'm just going to hit these two kind of. Oh, next we got Matt Breda. So that's for you to talk about being Metro Niners.
Yeah, I did not see that. What was it? Is it Jeffrey Wilson? Is that his name? I did not see that happening at all. I honestly had no idea who he was until he started carrying the ball. And I was like, who is this guy? I didn't know him from Adam. And it was just crazy to see that he came out and just basically, you know, did what he did against Seattle. I know they were getting blown out, but he was having some pretty good chunk yardage gains and he looked really good. And it just kind of comes down to Shanahan's offense. I feel like he can make anybody a running back. I mean, they had Raheem Morris for a while, was doing really well. I mean, you know, Alfred Morris was good when he was with the Redskins a couple years ago. And he wasn't a very, you know, highly sought after free agent running back or anything. And he kind of made them all sort of stars. And he's kind of done that with even with Breida to an extent. And it's just
Tevin Coleman look good.
What was that?
I said he actually made Tevin Coleman look good.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, he's had running backs wherever he goes, and it just sort of just plays into right to his hand. Now he's got this other guy that no one's ever heard of, and he's, you know, lighting it up. And, you know, he's definitely worth a good add because I think Breida's already been ruled out for this week. So I think he's a good add and a good addition if you can put him in your flex position.
Yeah, he went high for Fab Bucks my leagues. Next up, we got Alex Collins for the Ravens. He kind of lost his job anyways.
Right.
Gus Edwards looked fantastic. He said 200-yard games, 80-yard game. That's his job now. Collins was the backup, and that's looking like now with him done for the season, who knows what's going to come out from him.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good call there. I think, we kind of saw Gus Johnson sort of take over. The only thing that kind of hurts Gus Johnson is he doesn't catch passes. I'm sorry, Gus Edwards, sorry. He doesn't catch a lot of passes. I mean, I think he has one target for the whole season. You know, I don't think he's caught a single pass since he started starting in the lineup. So that kind of hurts him a little bit in that sense. But he's definitely the starting running back there, and the Baltimore Ravens want to run the ball. So I think he's good going forward.
They have the most rushing yards through in a 3-game stretch in franchise history. They're up over 700 yards in the last 3 games rushing. Wow,
that's impressive.
They're pounding the rock.
That's impressive. All right, we got two more guys here real quick that were put on IR. We'll kind of talk about them together. Christian Kirk, receiver for the Cardinals, and Greg Olsen, the tight end for the Panthers. Talk about both of these guys. What do you think? Who does this help?
Christian Kirk helps nobody. Like, the Cardinals, they're bad, man. they have stuff to be excited for the future, but other than David Johnson, there's nothing I want there.
Agreed.
Like, there's Larry Fitz, who's going to catch the ball, even takes away from him. There's nobody there who's going to step up in Kirk's absence. And then Ian Thomas for Greg Olsen. I actually missed him on the waiver article this week, which I apologize for, but he's a great pickup. He caught 5 balls once he got hurt anyways.
Yep.
So he could be a guy who could start the rest of the year if you don't have a good tight end being so terrible with the position.
Yeah, I actually had Ian Thomas in a sleeper article before the season started and players that could start by the end of the year. And he was on that list. And I think that, you know, Olsen getting injured earlier in the season and coming back and playing through injury You know, you kind of thought Ian Thomas would probably get a shot eventually. You know, unfortunate that Olsen had to go to IR. It's probably the end of his career. I doubt he comes back for this from next year. He's probably close to the end already. But yeah, I think it's sad to see Olsen go out like this. But if you, you know, got Ian Thomas in a dynasty league, or if you're able to get him on the free agent market, he should be pretty good going forward.
Yeah, I like him going forward a lot, especially in dynasty. Next time we get another rookie we're talking about. Josh Allen finished the week last week as QB2.
That's crazy. I mean, I'm loving it because I got him in my dynasty league. I actually added him off the free agent market, believe it or not, a few weeks ago before he blew up when he was getting ready to come back from injury. I added him just because I got Jimmy G on IR right now, and I have Cam Newton as my starter. So I was a little nervous that going forward, if Cam Newton got hurt, I'd be screwed. So I added him just as kind of insurance, and now I'm like, well, shit, this week I might even have to start him if Cam Newton's shoulder injury is not better by the time the game starts. But he's been really good the past 2 weeks. I think he's got over 100 yards rushing in both games. I mean, he hasn't been amazing through the pass, but, I mean, if you're running the ball that much as a quarterback, you're going to love that all the time. I mean, we all start Lamar Jackson, who hasn't been doing good in the past either, but those rushing yards definitely give you a good floor.
They're huge. He had 99 against Jacksonville, 135 against Miami.
Wow.
Like, that's huge rushing totals, and it's a bad offense. He's starting to get some chemistry with Zay Jones, so that should help. They need to get him some weapons there.
Agreed.
But I admit, he's better than I expected him to be.
We got a question on Facebook from Jason Scott Nestor. He asks, what about Mixon's injury to his foot? That's the first I've actually heard of it. Did you know anything about this for Mixon? Mixon's your boy.
He is. They said he was sitting out today. They didn't disclose a lot about it. Until I hear, like, he's out, I'm watching it closely. Have to have something. It's playoffs. Hopefully your team's good enough. You have something backed up. But it's going to be one of those last minute. We'll probably hear about it Friday, Saturday if he's playing. If they say he's playing, I'm starting him. I'm not hesitating.
Agreed. Yeah, I think it's kind of become a trend now with Wednesday being sort of the Veterans Day. You know, they just give him the rest. They come up with some kind of small injury to put him out, limit his practice reps. So I wouldn't worry too much about it unless he's missing Thursday and Friday's practice. Then I'd be a little bit more worried about him missing this game.
Yeah, coaches lie all the time.
Exactly. Exactly. We know that.
Harbaugh's been saying that Flacco is in the mix to start for the last 3 weeks. Like, and he isn't even walking fully yet. Like, they lie. That's how it is.
All right, the next thing I got here as far as the topic is Cowboys over the Saints. Who saw that one coming?
Dude, it saved me. It got me in the fantasy playoffs in my
nice
redraft league because I played against Drew Brees and Kamara that week. So it was huge. But the Cowboys' defense is actually legit. I kind of shocked over it.
Yeah, agreed. And they made Brees look sort of human. I mean, he couldn't find anybody. He was getting, you know, under pressure basically every play. It was basically a recipe in how you beat the Saints. Now, not everybody has the same personnel as the Cowboys, so not everybody can pull off what they did. But for those good defenses out there, they kind of laid the blueprint there for beating the Saints, and that could hurt them in the playoffs come in a couple of weeks when they're in the playoffs. So, yeah, that could come back to bite them a little bit. The blueprint has been laid in how you beat the Saints.
Absolutely. But Dallas does have one of the better pass rushes in the league, and it was a Thursday night game. Don't overreact on Thursday night games with the Saints players.
Agreed.
Like, weird. Who was the other real weird one we had this year? Like, that everybody freaked out about.
Was it the Tennessee and Patriots game? Was that Thursday night? Or was that a Monday? Yeah.
Yep, that was it. But, like, Thursday night games, weird things happen. We just have to be used to it.
Yep. Agreed 100%.
Not overreact.
All right, what do you think about Mike McCarthy getting fired in Green Bay? He's the third longest tenured head coach in the NFL behind Belichick and Marvin Lewis. What do you think about that?
It was time. I mean, him and Aaron Rodgers apparently weren't getting along. You pay Aaron Rodgers $100 million. He's one of the best in the league. Make him happy. McCarthy wasn't winning. If you can't win with a great quarterback,
yeah,
the job ain't for you. Like, okay. Everybody says, win championships. He had that quarterback.
Yep. What do you think of Rodgers going forward? Do you think this improves his stock, hurts his stock?
I want to say it improves it. I'd like to see them get a running game. But I heard that, like, crazy stuff where Rodgers was just ignoring play calls, so who knows?
Yeah, I heard that same story, too, that he was just, you know, doing whatever he wanted to do, which that's kind of crazy that he would be that insubordinate, that he would just run his own plays.
Getting his Willie Beeman on.
Definitely. What else we got on here?
Julio Jones getting held up to 18 yards.
Yeah, talk about a bad timing for that. If you needed Julio Jones a big game to make the playoffs, you definitely did not get that. Jones has been one of the most consistent receivers all season long. I know he hasn't been catching a ton of touchdowns over the past few years, but I think he had 3 straight this year. And then to come out and just get 18 yards, man, that must have really killed some people's playoff hopes this year.
Yeah, I actually got to watch that live. It was one of the few times I actually got the Ravens on TV. But they beat the shit out of Matt Ryan. They were physical with him. They're a tough matchup for receivers going forward. Like, I know Tyreek Hill this week. You can't bench Tyreek Hill ever. But I would go in not feeling like he's going to get a 30-point game.
Yep, I agree.
But, man, they did a good job. Jimmy Smith's getting healthy, and he covered him like 80% of the plays. Like, Pro Football Focus had like 78% of the plays.
Wow.
So they manned him up the whole game.
Which usually isn't the case with Julio. Usually it's the other way around. Usually he's able to manhandle the DB that's in front of him and basically get his targets and his yards every game. But, yeah, that was an outstanding job by the Baltimore Ravens, shutting Julio Jones down and making that Atlanta offense look elsewhere.
Not many 6'2 corners in the league, though, so that helps.
This is true.
Speaking of bad offenses, Colts getting shut out by the Jags.
Yeah, I did not see this one coming either. I think I had Andrew Luck as one of my top DFS plays because I think he lit up the Jacksonville Jaguars just a few weeks earlier. Luck was on fire over the past, 8 weeks, throwing 3 TDs or more. They weren't allowing sacks. They just looked stagnant. They looked like the Jaguars somehow found their mojo and just sort of was able to shut down Andrew Luck, which really hurts their chances to win this division with a huge matchup this coming weekend with the Houston Texans.
Houston's hot, man. But isn't that the Jags' defense that we've been waiting to see this entire year?
It is, definitely is. A little too late for them, though. They're not going to make the playoffs this year.
Nope, not at all. And they probably would have rather had the good draft picks. But, it shows that any QB or any players can be shut down. That's 2 of the best in the league. We just talked about back-to-back.
Yep.
You share anything can happen, especially down the stretch against good defenses and tough matchups.
Yep, definitely. Definitely. On the opposite end of the spectrum, we got Golden Tate finally getting a little breakout game here in Philly in a win on Monday night versus Washington. What'd you think of Golden Tate? I actually missed most of the game. I had to go to bed super early that night because I had to get up next day and do inventory. So I missed most of the game, but I saw his numbers. They look good on paper.
Yeah, Tate looks good. He looks like he's figuring out what's going on in that offense, getting some chemistry with Wentz. I think he's really just had hurts this year. Alshon hasn't been that special, but this could be one of his top targets, and I like him going forward. We might have missed our window to buy Golden Tate.
Yep, agreed. I think that he finally got worked into this offense, and I think that he's going to be good going forward, PPR leagues especially, because he'll get a ton of those underneath short screen routes that he can, he's so good on. So, yeah, I'd love me some Golden Tate going forward. All right.
So we not got? Great running after the catch. And Tate is.
We just lost connection.
All right. Am I still there?
Yeah, we're still here. I just lost the connection on all of our stuff. We are not live currently. Shit. All right, let's try to go live again. All right, guys, apologize for that. We lost connection there. We are back now. Hopefully y'all can find us back on goingfor2.com. We are back here, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of the news and notes from this past week. We got a few more notes to talk about here. We'll talk about Cam Newton, his 4 interceptions, basically a career-tying 4 interceptions. Did you watch this game at all? What was that?
I said it was against Tampa.
Yeah, I know, exactly. Of all teams to throw 4 picks against.
Yeah, I honestly just don't know. I don't even know how to react to that one. Cam's played out of his world this season. I don't want to overreact to it at all because we know Cam Newton is. We know who he is, but it's just bizarre.
It really was. I don't understand what happened there because, he's been playing pretty well. I know he had last week where he, I think it was last week, where he missed an open guy in the end zone that could have won the game. But overall, he's had a pretty good season, and I think that, you know, this is just a one-off. Tampa Bay is a division opponent, so maybe that has something to do with it. But, yeah, it was not pretty. I actually own Cam Newton in my Dynasty League. Luckily, my team did well enough that it didn't hurt me. I had Christian McCaffrey and Keenan Allen go off, so it kind of saved me a little bit. But Cam Newton kind of hurt me a little bit and got me thinking about Josh Allen this week. I want to start him, so it kind of got me thinking a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd get that far. But, yeah, I don't think I'd be worried about it. It was just a weird thing. We got the Rams clinching already.
Yeah, this is interesting because you think that they could start resting players here pretty soon. If they clinched, I know they're still fighting for that home field advantage because the Saints could potentially catch them. They currently sit in the number one seed in the NFC. But I think we saw in the preseason that he does believe in resting players. I think his players, all his starters rested the entire preseason, didn't play a single snap in the preseason. So he is all about resting them. So I think that if they somehow clinch that number one seed, or if the Saints lose another game, that they might think about resting players earlier than week 17, like most teams do.
Oh, God. All those Todd Gurley owners. Look, unfortunately, I haven't gotten the chance to get Todd Gurley in any of my leagues, but if I face him in the championship and that happens, I'd be pretty happy about it. But, yeah, it's maybe time to grab John Kelly off the waivers with Malcolm Brown going down.
Yeah, that was something I was going to bring up, is that Malcolm Brown, we talked about, I think, last week, about adding him to handcuff to Gurley. Then, he, of course, goes out for the season. So the handcuff now is probably John Kelly. He is a rookie. It looked decent in preseason, so I think he has got the opportunity, if he's going to start, you know, that last week 17 or even maybe possibly week 16, he's definitely startable if you're a Gurley owner. So go pick him up now if you haven't already.
Love John Kelly before the draft. Like, he was in my probably top 8.
Wow.
Before we found out what teams they went to.
Right.
Like, free, like, just as prospects. I had him above guys like Kerryon and a couple others like that. Royce Freeman. I love the skill set. But he might be a nice fill, and he can receive. He can run between tackles, run outside. He's athletic. I like what he brings, but, I mean, might have to use him.
Definitely. All right, another running back that's been looking really good this year is Philip Lindsay. He had a huge game this past week. He's been good all season. I mean, he's basically put Royce Freeman basically on the bench behind him. You know, a promising young rookie. Lindsay was undrafted. He's been just an awesome guy this year. Do you think he's a stud going forward, or just a flash in the pan?
I'm still, the book's out for me. I'm not sure. He's a 185-pound running back. Like, how long is that going to last? We've seen, like, work done and maybe a couple others who lasted, but not a ton, man.
Yep, agreed.
I mean, he's good. I know they liked Royce Freeman. They were still playing him before he got hurt. I don't know if we're going to see that volume next year or going forward. This year, I love him for the rest of the season. But going forward, like Dynasty View, I'm still not fully on board yet.
I hope you're right, because I actually own Royce Freeman in my Dynasty League, so hopefully Royce Freeman can sort of reestablish himself as the main running back there. We do have a question here on Facebook. Someone's asking a sit start question. Basically, they got Jared Goff and Big Ben this week. Who are you starting out of these two?
Jared Goff and Big Ben. Bear with me. I'm trying to bring up the schedule. Yeah, Pittsburgh. Oh, I'm starting Big Ben. I didn't even get to the Rams yet. They're playing the Raiders, man. That's a money matchup. Big Ben's was he first or second in the league in passing yards now?
Second, I think, after this week. I think he's second.
And they're just throwing the ball all over the place. They are third-string running back. And Jared Goff's facing the Bears, who has been a great defense this year. I think it's Big Ben, no questions asked.
Why can't I find the Rams? Oh, they're playing the Bears. They're at the Bears. Okay.
Yeah, it's the Sunday night game. Yeah, I'm definitely playing Big Ben against the Raiders. Bears is a tough matchup.
I agree there. I think that the thought process is, I think that Big Ben is not as good on the road, but at the same time, the Goff isn't as good on the road either. He's going against Chicago, whereas Big Ben's going against the Raiders. So I think I'm definitely going with Big Ben for sure.
Dude, Raiders are so terrible.
And like, knowing who this question came from, they're actually Raiders. They're both Raiders fans. So that's kind of hurts them a little bit that you're going to pick Big Ben versus the Raiders, but they know what's up.
Embrace your team suck, man. It's okay. They've let everybody throw all of them. They let Josh Rosen have double-digit touchdowns against them.
Definitely.
They're averaging 20 points a game to opposing quarterbacks.
Wow. Yeah, not worried about road Big Ben on this one. I think Big Ben will be just fine there in that game for sure. Okay. All right, a couple more things to hit here before we head out of here, before we hit to commercial break. Kelvin Benjamin was cut this week. Do you care at all for anything at all?
I care because I'm a Florida State fan, and he caught a game winner in a national championship. But other than that, no. He isn't made for the wide receiving world anymore. If he can lose weight, maybe learn how to block, play tight end, but he's irrelevant in fantasy. I'm probably cutting him in Dynasty. I'm probably definitely cutting him in Redraft. I don't think that's should even be mentioned. But yeah.
If you're cutting him now, you should have cut him like weeks ago.
Yeah, he should have been on the team to begin with. And if he's buried on a deep Dynasty roster, might as well cut him. Free up room for some guys who are on teams.
What about the guys that might replace him in Buffalo? Are you liking any of those guys? I know Zay Jones has been good lately, and the other guys whose names I can't even think of right now.
I like Zay Jones. They cut Andre Roberts, who ended up signing with the Broncos today.
Right.
Yep. So I don't even know who's that behind Zay Jones right now.
It's Robert something, isn't it? Thomas or something? I think you talked about him a few weeks ago
there's nothing there I want. Maybe Josh Allen, if we're desperate to play somebody or stream somebody. And Zay Jones, if you're desperate. I picked him up in Dynasty. I probably don't want to play him in redraft. I don't have to.
All right, we got another question on Facebook here. Speaking of Zay Jones, would you start Zay Jones or Chris Samuel from Carolina?
Ooh,
Carolina's got the Saints, I believe.
I'm probably going Curtis Samuel. I think, was that a matchup?
Nope, Carolina got the Browns.
Yeah, I'd give Curtis Samuel on that. He's been getting a lot of targets. He had 11 targets last week. He's starting to build trust with Cam. Cam's not going to perform like we just saw again. They're going to have a bounce back game. And Cleveland's been better this year, but they're still not lights out. And they're going to have Denzel Ward covering DJ Moore, and he's been locked down. So I think that should open it up for Samuel.
Yeah, I agree. I think Samuel actually has led the league or led the team in targets the past 2 weeks. Hasn't done a whole lot with him, but he's done enough that he's definitely viable. Zay Jones, while I do like him there, I think he's still a little bit dependent on a rookie quarterback. And, you know, they are playing the Jets, which isn't a great defense, but it's still a rookie quarterback that could potentially struggle. And I don't know. I still don't trust Zay Jones quite yet. The verdict's still out on him. 2 weeks does not make a career, and I think Zay Jones has kind of shown in the past that he can disappear very easily. So give me Curtis Samuel.
Agreed. Next one we have is Dante Foreman being activated from the PUP.
I'm not sure how I feel about this one. I know where you stand on this one. Now you're not a big fan of Dante Foreman, but all they have there is Lamar Miller, who's been sort of hit or miss. I know they got Alfred Blue there as well. Neither one of them have been spectacular, you know, at least consistently. They've had big games here and there, but nothing that's consistent. So Deontay Foreman, he comes in and he'll probably get a chance. He'll get a shot. Maybe not be right away. Maybe in a week or two when he's fully healthy. But I'd be worried if I was a Lamar Miller owner.
Yeah, I mean, I think all the running backs there take a bump down. But I'm not playing Deontay Foreman.
Yeah. Don't play him this week. Yeah,
don't play Dante Foreman. Like, definitely. I don't want to play Lamar Miller if I have to either. Like, I think their running backs are done for me for the year.
Agreed. All right, we got one more here. Another sit start question here. We got Kenny Golladay, who's going against Patrick Peterson, or the other options are DJ Moore or Pettis, who was kind of the hero from last week. Which one do you like of those three?
Ooh, I might actually get Pettis in this one.
Really? Impressive.
I love that matchup. Patrick Peterson started shadowing again. And, I mean, there's no way he's not going to shadow against them because the Lions have nobody else.
That's true.
Like, there's no one else to throw to. We're talking about Bruce Ellington, who's been on I don't know, half dozen teams in the past 2 years. Like, he's been okay, but he's not done anything. He hasn't seen over 15 air yards on a pass yet this year. And then, so we were talking a little bit earlier about Denzel Ward being on DJ Moore. He's another guy who's been shadowing and been great this season for a rookie. So I'm going to go with Pettis. He's played great. And Broncos are not that good of a not as good of a matchup, especially with Chris Harris out.
Yeah, I would have a hard time pulling the trigger on Kenny Galladay against Patrick Peterson, because he shut down pretty much everyone he's faced this year, more or less. And Galladay has shown that he can be shut down. He didn't have a very good game last week either, only 50 yards against a tough matchup. DJ Moore and Pettis would be the option I would be choosing from. I'm a little bit nervous as a Niners fan of Pettis because I've seen this floor and it's not very good. The only thing with Moore that I do like is I do give him the ball sometimes in the running game. They'll hand off, you know, that end around play or that sort of quick screen play. He'll get involved that way. But I think if you're going to go strictly a matchup, I think it is Pettis. I think you go Pettis. It's kind of a tough call to pull when you're in the first week of the playoffs. But I think that if you want to win your league this week, you're going to have to go with Pettis.
It's playoffs, man. I'm going upside, if we're going to be honest. So that's what I'd roll on that.
Good stuff. All right, let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to have a little bit of Slow Your Roll and a little bit of this and that. We'll be right back.
Fantasy football. It's not just a social interaction anymore. Today's manager plays to win. And the difference between winning and losing is so small, a manager will do whatever it takes to get an edge. Yet the other sites offer the same content at an extremely high cost. It's time to get away from the old and step into the future of fantasy stats. This is StatRoute. StatRoute allows you to find any data set for any player or team in 7 seconds or less, all on a simple, easy-to-use application. Want to see which running back performed best in the snow last season? How about the past 5 seasons? And in the fourth quarter? Or maybe you're unsure of which quarterback to start for the upcoming week. With our Stats IP technology, you can now quickly see how Matt Stafford has performed in the rain, during the second half of the season, in New York, compared with how Russell Wilson has played during primetime games, at home, versus the Rams' new defensive coordinator, Wade Phillips. At StatRoute, it's our mission to deliver state-of-the-art technology guaranteed to keep you ahead of the curve. So, whether you're a casual football fan, a weekly fantasy trash talker, or a DFS hustler, we've got you covered. Welcome to the new standard for stats delivery. We are StatRoute. Take back your lead.
Guys, welcome back. As always, after the show is finished, this show will be available on all of the podcast networks, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, and TuneIn Radio, among others. We're always streaming here on Tuesday and Friday night. We've had some issues tonight with some difficulties of connection. We're working on getting that fixed. I know the past couple days we've had that issue. Our past couple shows we had that issue. We're hoping to get that fixed. Eventually, I'm going to hardwire my computer to the network. Hopefully, that fixes everything. But you can also find the replay at iTunes and Stitcher. It should be fully functional on those platforms as well. All right, we're going to do a little Slow Your Roll. These are guys that that have tough matchups coming up here. We want you to sort of temper your expectations and just kind of be on the lookout. If you got someone better, to go ahead and start them. The first one I got on my list is going to be your boy, Gus Edwards, going to Kansas City. And not necessarily because I don't think he'll be involved in the game plan. I think that the Kansas City Chiefs, if they get up big, will basically eliminate him because he doesn't have any pass catching ability. He's had one target all season long. What do you think about Gus Edwards against Kansas City, which should be a good matchup, but if they get up big, it could be a tough matchup for him.
I mean, we're going to have an upset this week, but no, I'm going to fade Gus Edwards unless I have to. One guy I think would play in his place, if I'm holed up, is Ty Montgomery. he really showed up in the passing game this week for Baltimore. And like you said, if you feel like they're going to go down big, I mean, myself, I don't believe that. But if you are one of the ones who do believe that, he could be a sneaky play for you.
All right.
Like he had a decent amount of targets last week. But, yeah, Gus Edwards against them, I can't see them running that much with him.
Yeah, I agree. I think Edwards, if they can keep it close, I think that he could actually be a good play. Because I think that the Chiefs defense is a soft run defense, and they can actually get some yards on him. But it's just a matter of them keeping it close.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's your first slow your roll guy there?
Going back to this one for you, I'm going Corey Davis against the Jags.
Yeah, Corey Davis has got some tough matchups, through this whole season. He's had some pretty good games here and there. It's going to be a tough game. I haven't heard the status yet of Jalen Ramsey. I know he played last week injured. But he obviously did pretty well. He shut down Andrew Luck and the Colts. So I think if he's healthy, he'll be on Corey Davis. It'll be a tough matchup. If I got a better starter, I'm going to go with someone over Corey Davis. But if you have to start him, you're going to play him no matter what because he does get a lot of targets. But if I got a better option, I'm going a different route.
Real quick, Ty Montgomery had 7 targets last week.
How many receptions did he have?
He had 5 for 42. That was his first week playing. So if that game ends up being a shootout at all, he could get some serious amount of targets.
Good call.
All right, your next guy?
My next guy for you is going to be Josh Adams, who's been sort of the flavor of the week in Philadelphia, going up against that tough Dallas defense.
I've been saying buy him the last few weeks. I mean, he's got starting job. That's fine. But I didn't like him as a prospect. I don't like him in this matchup. I'm sitting him if I can.
Good deal.
Like, Dallas's defense is a lot better than everybody realized.
Yeah, agreed. I think Josh Adams is another one of those guys that doesn't get targets in the passing game. You know, they bring in Darren Sproles or Corey Clement, so he's basically a runner. And if he can't get anything going, they'll go elsewhere. And I think he's one of those backs that's not like a super fast guy. He's sort of those big bruising type backs. So I think that if he can't get enough yards to keep that offense moving, they'll go elsewhere with that. So he could have a bad game here. Real quick, before we get to our next guy, we got another question on Facebook here. This is for the flex spot. 1 point PPR. He's got 4 options here. Sutton, Lockett, Pettis, or Peyton Barber. Which one you want there?
Sutton,
Tyler Lockett, Pettis, and Peyton Barber.
I think I'm going to get Sutton because I think he's going to get the targets on that for this game, but I don't trust Tyler Lockett still. He's so volatile. He scores touchdowns, but it can't last forever.
We keep saying that, but it keeps happening.
I keep saying that, and he keeps proving me wrong. Kudos to him, but I like Sutton's targets this week, so I'd lean his way. And Peyton Barber against the Saints is a decent matchup, but how many carries do you get in the game against them?
Yeah, that's a good call. And the Saints defense has actually been really good against the run. I think a couple weeks ago they were number one against the run defense. So I think that Peyton Barber is out of the question for me. Between Pettis and Sutton, for me, I think they both get tons of targets. I think Sutton has the better overall team. They're a little more balanced. They got the run game, the pass game, a good defense. So I think it's Sutton for me in the flex spot there.
Yeah, and playing the Niners is better than playing the Broncos.
Exactly. All right, who's your next slow your roll guy?
Marlon Mack versus Houston.
Yeah, I agree here. I think Marlon Mack against Houston is going to be a tough matchup. I do think that he gets the carry still. I think he gets volume. So based on volume alone, he could be viable and probably still a starter. But I wouldn't expect a huge game from him against Houston. That defense has been nasty the past couple weeks. Really all season they've been nasty, but they've been really good the past few weeks. So Mack would kind of worry me if I had to start him this week.
Yeah, Houston's good, man. They can sneak into that bye.
Definitely. All right, the next one I got, slow your roll on Brandon Cooks versus Chicago. What do you think of that one?
I'm never bench Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks is right up there for me with, like, he's not Tyreek Hill. He's not that kind of – he's not – as explosive as Tyreek Hill's been, but he's been consistently a big play guy, and he's consistently been a great receiver. who's completely overlooked, who can – he only needs one catch to put up double-digit fantasy points. So he's a guy who I'm never really going to bench.
Even at Chicago with Jared Goff and his road struggles, you're not worried about him at all?
I mean, yes, but a guy like him, he's probably one of your top options. And like I said, man, he's one play away. And I'd rather take the chance on him in the playoffs than any of the dudes we've talked about, like a Corey Davis or one of them young guys.
Fair enough. Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think you're still starting Brandon Cooks. I think the chances you got a better option is probably slim to none anyway. I would expect a huge game from him here. I do think he still gets the targets. Of course, they've got a very balanced offense, a very good offense. I do worry a little bit about Goff's road struggles. We saw last week that he went up against the Detroit Lions and struggled mightily against them. So that Bears defense is much better than Detroit. But at the same time, Cooks is one of the top receivers in the league, and I think that you have to start him no matter what. So roll yep. Cooks out there and just hope he has that one big play.
I'm also a Brandon Cooks truther. So, but he's been great this year. I'd keep rolling with him.
All right, before we get to the next one, we get another question here on Facebook. Let me get these four guys' names. We got Corey Davis, Josh Reynolds, Jordy Nelson, or Zay Jones.
Who are the first two?
Corey Davis, Josh Reynolds, Jordy Nelson, Zay Jones.
I'd probably go Corey Davis. He's the most talented of them. I know we just talked about being a terrible matchup, but I'm not trusting any of those other guys. Maybe Josh Reynolds, but it's also a bad matchup. So, yeah
I'm with Corey you. Davis. I'm with you on that as well. I think it's Corey Davis. He gets the targets. I think Mariota's sort of been forcing it to him a little bit, and I think that as long as they can get him the targets, he can make it pay off no matter who he's facing. So, yeah, it's Corey Davis for me. It's all tough matchups, but I think Corey Davis is the leader there.
Yep. And Brandon Cooks had one game under double-digit fantasy points this year, by the way.
Who was it against? That's when he got hurt, isn't it?
No, it was the week after, and he didn't play the full game against Denver.
Mm.
But other than that, he's had – his worst game was last week with 10 points.
Which is when Jared Goff struggled, so that, you know, made me a little nervous.
What's that, four catches for 62, still playable.
Still playable. You're right, you're right. All right, let's see who I got. Who do I got next? Oh, Cameron Brate versus New Orleans. Cameron Brate's been popular because he's been a good target for Jameis Winston, but the Saints have been awesome against tight ends. What do you think of them?
I'd probably play still playing Cameron Brate. I mean, who are you benching Brate for at tight end position?
Jalen Samuels.
Okay, if you're not in weird Yahoo. Like, what kind of guy are you going to bench him for? Like, Chris Herndon? Or some of that nature?
True.
I don't know. It's tough. I mean, Saints have been good, but it's still going to be a high-scoring game they have to throw.
And your Skype screen is frozen. I don't know if you can do anything on your end over there, but for some reason you're frozen on my screen.
Okay.
Having all kinds of issues tonight with Skype and with connection tonight.
Yeah, but Can you see now? One thing I'd say is Jameis forces the ball, so, and that's one of his favorite targets, so I'd still trust it.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's, like you said, tight ends before are basically a touchdown away from being a top tight end, so I think he'll be a red zone target in that offense. I think that he'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, 8 points gets you a top 12 tight end.
Yep, exactly.
Next we got Alshon versus Dallas.
Yeah, we kind of talked about it already. Alshon's been struggling the last couple of weeks, and Dallas is a really, really good defense. And I don't know. I think if I've got a better option, I'm going there. Chances are you probably don't have a better option. But if I do have a better option, I'm going to go elsewhere. I just don't trust this offense. I don't trust Alshon. And against his defense, no thanks.
And then we got Kirk Cousins versus Seattle.
Kirk Cousins is sort of, he's interesting. I think that, you know, he puts up some big numbers, but he'll kill you like he did last week sometimes where he put up a bunch of interceptions. If Kirk Cousins is not your QB1, I'm curious as to who you have that you could start over Kirk Cousins. But if you have a better option than Kirk Cousins, it's a tough spot to play in Seattle. You know, it's a tough defense to begin with, and then you're going to Seattle on top of that. But I think you're probably starting Kirk Cousins just based on the fact that he's probably your QB1 and you don't have much better options.
Yeah.
You agree?
I completely agree. I don't feel great about Kirk Cousins. And, I mean, a lot of people, like, if you took him early, some of the guys you took midway in these drafts this year, the guys who've blown up.
True.
Like, Jared Goff, Ben Roethlisberger were guys you took after the 10th round.
True.
So you could have both. So if I have Cousins and I don't have to play them, I'm probably not.
Fair enough. All right. Now it's time for a little this or that for week 13. We're going to take two guys basically playing in the same game, and we're going to talk about them if you would take one or the other in your starting lineup. And we'll get the first guy here off the board is Alshon Jeffrey or Amari Cooper. Who are you taking in this matchup?
I think this one's easy, being we've kind of been just shitting on Alshon all day. I'm going Amari on this. He's their number one receiver now. He's played great since he's getting to Dallas. I'm going Amari.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think Amari gets plenty of targets. I think that Philadelphia secondary is terrible. They've got so many injuries back there that they're starting guys like me and you back there. So I think that Amari has a huge game here, and I don't want nothing to do with Alshon Jeffrey. So, yeah, Cooper for me as well.
All right. Next one we got is Luck or Watson.
I think I'm going to go Luck based on his volume. If you look at Watson's passing stats the past couple of weeks, he's only had like, I think, under 20 completion or attempts over the last four or five games. He's just not airing it out quite as much as he was before in the past. Luck is still throwing the ball 30, 40, you know, times a game. So it's Luck for me. I think the matchup's tougher for Luck going against Houston. But I think Luck bounces back and has a good game here. What do you think?
I agree. I've got Luck on this one, even though you can't go wrong either way. I'm throwing a bonus one just because this is what I have. And because I felt like when I read this, I'm like, it's kind of ridiculous if you have both these guys on one team. But I have this on my dynasty team. I have Luck and Mahomes.
Luck and Mahomes. And Mahomes
that's got... one of my... week.
That's a tough one because Mahomes does have the Ravens, but I don't know how you bench Mahomes. He's gotten you to the playoffs. I think you got to roll him out there. I know he's playing against the Ravens, which also happens to be your favorite team. I don't know. It's Mahomes for me. I think you got to play Mahomes.
It's going to be a last-minute Sunday decision. I have Luck in there as now, but we're talking the number two pass defense, number three rush defense.
It's tough. Let me ask you this. How many times this season, besides Mahomes' bye week, did you start Luck?
I have no idea. Let me look at that while you do the next one.
Say maybe week one, week two, maybe. And then after that, it was pretty much Mahomes from then on out.
Yeah, probably something similar to that.
That'd be my guess. And that's why I would think that, let's say you bench Mahomes after he gets you all the way to the playoffs. Luck goes out and struggles. Mahomes has a huge game. You're going to be pissed at yourself. I'd much rather go with the guy that's gotten me there and just hope that he has a good game.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking at this while we're doing that. Next one up, we have Case Keenum and Nick Mullins.
Oh, my God. If you're starting these guys, you're not in the playoffs probably. So, but if I had to choose between those two guys, it's probably going to be Case Keenum. You know, he's got the better overall team around him. He won't turn the ball over as much as Nick Mullins possibly could. There's a possibility that Nick Mullins gets benched in this game for C.J. Beathard. I don't think there's a chance that Keenum gets benched for any reason. So it's Keenum for me. He's got the better receiving options as well. Even with Sanders going down, I think Sutton is better than Pettis and company for their 49ers.
Yeah, I think I might agree on that one.
All right,
still counting this. Who's the next one we have?
Next one is same team, actually. James White or Sony Michel? White had the better game last week. Michel had a ton of carries and got vultured at the goal line twice. What do you think of those two guys?
I think I'm going to go Sony in this one. I think the Saints are going to have – or sorry, I think the Patriots are going to have a lead most of the game and be working the clock. So I'm going to go Sony on this one. It's the Dolphins. It's not like they're going to be in a – shootout with them.
Yeah, agreed. I think the Dolphins rank fifth in points allowed to running backs, and I think they want to run the ball. They're going to just pound it with Michelle. I think Michelle had like 20 carries last week, but he just didn't get in the end zone. I think some random player that I can't even think of his name right now got in the end zone twice.
James Devlin.
Yes, that's the one. He vultured both of my touchdowns for Sony Michelle, so I was pretty pissed about that in my Dynasty League. But I think this week is a Michelle week. They get back to running the rock. He gets the red zone carries. It's Michelle for me as well.
I actually did an article on the Patriots running backs and like how like it's not really as bad as people make it out to be. And James Devlin had a game like that like 2 years ago. Like I literally tracked every RB1 game from every single week. And he had like some random like 180-yard game one week. And I'm like, who the hell is this guy? Yet he showed up again.
He's back.
Vulture started luck three times this year.
Three times. What? So bye week was one of them, right?
Bye week, week one, and last week.
And last week. Okay. All right.
And last week I did win with him in there, even though he did not play well.
Did not play well. Who did Mahomes have last week?
Mahomes scored. Why the hell did I? I might have just messed up when I did that. So I played him by accident.
That's the same.
To be legitimately honest about it, I played him by accident.
It's like his luck had the Jaguars and Mahomes.
Yeah, no, I messed up.
Yeah,
and I got really lucky.
You got lucky. You did.
It was one of those. I have too many lineups to set, and I literally just made a boo-boo.
Lucky it didn't cost you. That would have been terrible.
Dude, I won by 3 points. Yeah, it would have been really terrible.
You got lucky.
And I would not have made the playoffs.
Ouch.
So I don't deserve to be in, but it's okay.
All right. Let's see what we got here. The next one on here is Mark Ingram or Peyton Barber. We kind of talked about Peyton Barber a little bit already, but what do you think of these two guys?
I like Ingram this week. There's been rumors that Kamara's been a little beaten up, and I don't know how much true that is, or even if it's 10% true and he's a little bit banged up, why risk it when you're playing a team that you should beat and you have a running back as talented as Ingram?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Carries.
Yeah, I'm with you on that as well. I think that this game's going to be sort of a shootout too. I think they're going to go back and forth and score a lot of points, and I think it kind of takes Barber out of the picture there. I think Ingram does still play when there's a shootout and there's still a lot of passing going on. He still gets his carries, still gets his touches in the red zone, especially. So yeah, I would trust Mark Ingram even as the de facto RB2 in that offense. I think he's still better than Peyton Barber as the RB1 in that offense.
Yep. Next we have Chris Godwin or Tre'Quan Smith.
This one I think is going to depend on if they decide to keep DeSean Jackson out. I've heard rumors that he might be out for the rest of the season, and if that is the case, I'm going to go with Chris Godwin. I think Chris Godwin currently right now is I think wide receiver 24, I believe. I think that, you know, Godwin's got some competition there. He's got Mike Evans, of course. He got Humphreys, of course. But without DeSean Jackson, I think Godwin's been a top 10 receiver every game that DeSean Jackson has missed for his career. So I think with DeSean Jackson out of the picture, I think Godwin becomes that sort of hot target for Jameis Winston. And I love that matchup as well with being a number two receiver against the Saints, which has been money all season long.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think Chris Godwin's next year's juju.
Good call. Good call. I love
like, Godwin. I love Chris Godwin. He's talented. He's big. He's strong. He's stuck with another. He's got another good receiver in front of him. Unfortunately, but doesn't mean you can't get volume. We've seen that this year, especially on a team that doesn't run.
Definitely.
And he's good, man. Like he's gonna be number one receiver one day.
Agreed. I think he's really good. Unfortunately, I had to trade him away in one of my leagues, and I'm kind of regretting it. But I do love him. I love his game, and I think that now that he's getting that chance to be the number two receiver there, he's going to be amazing.
I'm gonna trade for him tonight in my rebuild league.
Nice. Nice.
I don't know who I'm trading for him, but I'm going to get him tonight.
You're going to get him somehow, some way.
I'm going to get him tonight. It'll happen.
All right. All right. The next one we got here typically would have been a no-brainer, but with the situations that they've both been playing in this year, Matt Ryan or Aaron Rodgers, who are you going with on this one?
I'm going to get Aaron Rodgers, which he's burnt me every time I've said it this year. And Matt Ryan's been great this year. Last week, where he had 131 yards, just facing a buzzsaw on the defense. But Aaron Rodgers would have come out with something to prove, proving that Mike McCarthy was the reason he sucked this year, not him. And I'm going to Aaron Rodgers on this.
I'm with you, but for different reasons. I'm with you because it's Aaron Rodgers at home. Matt Ryan has not been a great quarterback on the road. Now he's going to Green Bay, which I'm sure is not, you know, as comfortable right now as Atlanta is. So I think it's going to be super cold out there. I think they play in that cold up there in Green Bay, so they're used to it. I think Ryan's going to struggle there in Green Bay this week. So I'm going to go Aaron Rodgers based on the fact that I think Matt Ryan struggles.
Yeah, I don't have any disagreement with you on that. All right, next we got DJ Moore versus Jarvis Landry.
This one for me is Jarvis Landry. He finally got back to getting those targets that he was getting earlier in the season. He had a pretty good game last week. I think it was last week, or was it 2 weeks ago he got all the targets? I forget which week it was, but I know he had a big game just recently. Moore has been sort of overshadowed somewhat by Chris Samuels. He's still, you know, still a good receiver, but I think that they're kind of sharing the load a little bit more, and it's taken away from DJ Moore's big playability. I think it's Landry for me. What about you?
Yeah, I'm going Landry. Yeah, he had 9 targets last week, 6 catches, 103. Plus, I was looking at Football Outsiders, and Carolina is fourth worst in the league against slot receivers.
Wow.
They're giving up 58 yards a game to that. So I'm going Landry.
All right, good stuff. All right, the other one we got here is a 2 running backs from the same backfield. Austin Eckler or Justin Jackson? Which one do you like better out of these two guys?
I think out of these two, I think I'm gonna get Justin Jackson this week. I think they're gonna have a big lead against Cincinnati. I think it's one of those game script things like we're seeing with we talked about the Patriots. And if they get the lead, they're going to get the guy who's more of the every down runner than the receiving back. Yeah, Jackson flashed last week.
He definitely did. And that's what I was going to say. I think they saw what he can do last week. And if he can keep that up, he'll definitely be the running back to own as long as Melvin Gordon is out. I'm with you 100%. Justin Jackson is the guy. I think we also saw that he can catch passes as well. So that kind of, you know, takes away a little bit from Eckler's passing game role. And I think Justin Jackson, as long as he, you know, knows the playbook as well as Eckler does. I know he's been in the offense a lot longer. I think Justin Jackson is going to be the start this week that you're going to need in that San Diego Chargers offense.
Yep.
All right.
Last one we have, Allen Robinson or Bobby Woods?
It's got to be Woods. It's Woods for me. I know it's probably a better matchup for a Robinson than it is for Woods against that Bears defense. But Robinson has sort of disappeared in some games this year. We've seen the emergence a little bit of Taylor Gabriel getting some targets in that offense. I think Robinson now is just a wide receiver 2. I think Woods is still the RB. I mean, I keep saying RB, the wide receiver 1 in that offense. I think that Woods is the main guy that Goff looks to. I know Brandon Cooks is there too. He's more of the big play threat. Woods is also the red zone threat. So it's definitely Woods for me.
Yeah, I'm starting Woods out of those two. He's had a great year. And we don't even know if Trubisky's fully playing yet. They've had different guys step up. Even, like you said, Taylor Gabriel, we've seen Anthony Miller show up.
Yep.
I'm going with Robert Woods. We know his role in the offense.
Agreed, 100%. All right, that wraps up the show for today. Ryan, tell us where we can find you on Twitter.
You can find me at Ryan Sirfoss at FantasyFB Connect on Twitter. You can find me weekly on our waiver wire for gov2.com, even though we won't be having many waiver wires left. You can find me on here, streamers on Dominate Fantasy Football, and I'm going to be starting on a bunch of Dynasty stuff for Gov2, working on getting a draft list put together this week.
All right, good stuff. Yeah, definitely be on the lookout for that, guys. I know everybody's been sort of dying to look at some Dynasty stuff, you know, especially if you're out of the playoffs, you're looking at next year already. You want to do some Dynasty rankings. Ryan's our guy that's going to be doing that for us this year. So look out for that. It's going to be an awesome article. I know I'm waiting for it to come out as well. Of course, I'm Jeff Lambert. As always, follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. I hope soon we can get these difficulties with the connection, you know, fixed here pretty soon. But with that said, everyone have a good week this week, and I hope you make it to the next week. We'll see you in week 15.
All right. Catch you later.